Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting Good at Life, the show that inspires, equips, and empowers you to live a life that gets better every day. For the next 30 minutes, we'll provide you with practical tips and information that will help you on your journey of faith. So sit back and relax and join the talk. We want to hear from you. Call us at 646-716-6910. That's 646-716-6910. And now your host, psychologist and coach, Dr. Carolyn Clancy Miller. She's here to help you get really good at life.
Well, welcome, and thank you for tuning in to Getting Good at Life today. I'll be your host for today. I'm Tracy Bennett, co-host and producer of this show, and I'm sitting in for Dr. Carolyn today. Well, it's the last week of September. Can you believe it? We're already headed into the last quarter of 2012. And I know probably at the beginning of the year, if you are a resolution person, you probably made some resolutions, and three of the quarters have gone by. So maybe you're trying to gauge your progress at this time. We want to know. So if you haven't quite gotten as far along as you intended, you still got time to put some points on the scoreboard, so to speak. So don't give up on those goals. And in particular today, if your goal is to finally get your book published, then today is your day. We're going to be talking about, is your book ready for a major publisher? And we're about to let you in on some major insider secrets of the publishing industry that you may not have already known. Writing a book is truly an accomplishment in and of itself. And once it's written, you'll want to get it into the hands of as many readers as possible. However, very few writers get picked up by a major publisher who can actually get their book out to the biggest markets, and that's because most of them don't know what you're about to find out right now. My guest today is not new to Getting Good at Life. He is a consummate professional who is familiar with both sides of the editorial desk as an editor and as a writer. His name is Terry Whalen, and he is an accomplished author in his own right. Throughout his career, he has authored and co-authored more than 60 books through traditional publishers in a wide range of topics. His magazine articles have appeared in more than 50 publications, and Terry is currently an acquisitions editor at Morgan James Publishing, a major publishing house. He is a popular speaker and teacher at numerous writers' conferences, and he is an active member of the American Society of Journalists and Authors. He's here to reveal some special tips on what it takes to get the attention of a major publisher and get your book on shelves everywhere. So welcome, Terry.
Tracy, it's a delight to be with you today, and I'm really excited about this opportunity.
Well, we're glad to have you back with us, Terry. Last time you were here, we were talking earlier before the show that so many people were glad to get some of the questions that they had on their hearts answered where their book was concerned. We've got quite a few listeners who are aspiring authors and writers, and they just want to know how to break in the right way. So we're going to get started by letting you kind of reveal, a little bit about your background in the publishing industry and, just tell us, where you come from that area.
Well, Tracy, one of the keys to getting published is making the right connection at the right time at the right place. And I always say that it's a number of those rights have to line up. But one of the keys that we're doing at Morgan James is I'm actively looking, as an acquisitions editor, I'm actively looking for the right material to be able to do that. And I hope your listeners are going to reach out and connect with me afterwards. We do about 150, 200 books a year at Morgan James. We're a New York-based publishing house. We receive over 5,000 submissions a year, though. So that means we reject 97% of the stuff that we get. So you have to find somebody that's going to really champion your cause, want your material, and help you. And that's the kind of role that I play as an acquisitions editor. Our publication board meets every week, and I turn in material, champion that material to the members of the board so that I can get you a book contract at the end of the day. About 30% of our books are Christian. Our founder is a Christian, and so we're doing a lot of Christian books out there, but we're doing nonfiction and fiction. This fall, we've just launched a line of fiction books, so we're doing historicals and contemporaries and mysteries and young adult romance. We're doing all kinds of stuff in the fiction area, biblical fiction. And in the nonfiction area, we're really looking for strong books that are pitched to us the right way. And by pitching it the right way, it means you've got to send me a sample of your writing. You've got to send me your outline of what your book's going to be and why you, of all the people in the world, should be the person to write this book. And we'll work with you. We'll get it out into the bookstores and really help you to be able to get your book out there in the best possible way.
Well, that comes as a comfort, I know, to me and probably many of our listeners, because when you write a book, any creative work that you do, whether it's writing a song, a book, drawing a painting or whatever, it's like your baby. Any kind of creative effort that you've done, it's almost like your child, and you don't want to put your child in the care of just anyone. So we highly endorse Terry as a very thoughtful and well-connected professional. And just, you know, he's very good at what he does. So we want to encourage you, and we will give you that information before the half hour is up, on how to get in contact with him. But Terry, let me ask you this. Now that we're in the full swing of the digital age, a lot of things have changed with traditional publishing that some of our aspiring writers out there may not be aware of. What has changed, and how is that going to affect the way your book comes across, how you get your book out there to the market?
Well, everybody's talking about e-books, Tracy, and how amazing they are and everything. But what people need to realize is that those e-books are still only about 20% of the market. So that leaves 80% of the market for the printed books that we buy in the bookstores and everything. And you want to have your book in as many different formats as you can out there. So you do want to be in the electronic age of publishing. And at Morgan James, we're making our books we're making them for the Kindle, the Sony Reader, the Nook, the iPhone, the iPad, all those different gizmos, and we have distribution for that. We're also making the printed book, and then we're also doing every book in audio format as well. Morgan James has some unique things. We allow the writer to maintain your rights to all your book. You grant us the right to distribute the book just exclusively to the bookstores, because we need to have that right just to do that. But otherwise, we're going to let you hold your own rights, which is an unusual thing. Most publishers like Simon & Schuster and Random House and our contemporaries, they hold the rights to the book. So that's a big significant thing that Morgan James does. Also, we do a full bookstore distribution for every book. A lot of people don't realize this, but typical Barnes & Noble only holds 10,000 or 15,000 copies of a book. And according to some numbers I've seen last year, there were, 3.1 million new books that were published in 2010. So there's a lot of competition in the bookstore market. But one of the things we do at Morgan James is we distribute books through Ingram Publishing Services. We're one of 60 publishers that do that, and that means that we sell the books into the bookstores. We have 40 people that travel the nation, and they meet with managers of bookstores, sell those books into the bookstore, and then Morgan James, at our expense, we print those books, we ship them out to the bookstores, we manage the returns, and for that, we give you a traditional royalty on those books. That's the whole distinction here between somewhere that's a self-publishing kind of outfit. We're not in the vanity self-publishing area. We're a traditional royalty publisher. And so we really do want to help you as an author be successful, though. Morgan James is known as the entrepreneurial publisher. We publish a lot of the guerrilla marketing books that J. Conrad Levinson did. And that whole philosophy has to do with helping authors do things at low cost, no cost, in order to be able to sell their books. So one of our stance at Morgan James is we're helping coach authors on how to build their presence in the marketplace, how to build their platform, and how to really get out there. We've just launched our own speakers bureau at Morgan James. And so we're really excited about that. The big six publishers all had their own speakers bureau, and so we decided to launch ours as well, where we help authors get paid speaking gigs around the country to be able to sell books. And so
that's what
it's all about, is really helping our authors one-on-one build their presence in the marketplace and really be able to get out there and be successful at the end of the day.
That sounds like a great deal. I want to talk about now, though, the first connection that you make with a publisher. You know, you had mentioned earlier that you guys get over 5,000 submissions. It's been estimated that up to 2 million book-length manuscripts are in circulation at agencies and publishing houses all over. What can an unknown author do to break through and get attention from a major publisher?
Well, Tracy, the major thing you have to do is understand that we're busy publishing executives. Some of my colleagues get 100 emails a day that pitch books to them, and so you have to understand that that's the kind of environment you're entering into there. So you want to put your best foot forward. You want to be able to tell me what your idea is in a succinct kind of way. And we call that a book proposal. And I've written a book about that. I did a book called Book Proposals That Sell, 21 Secrets to Speed Your Success. That book has over 100 five-star reviews on Amazon, and you can get that. A lot of people have used that book to learn about publishing and get a literary agent or get a publisher. We work with agents, by the way, at Morgan James. About 30% of our authors do have literary agents, which – again, validates that we're in the traditional side of publishing. But you just have to understand that busy publishing executives don't have a lot of time to get your idea. So if you've written a novel, for example, you can't bury your key vent over on chapter 5 because they may never get there. So you have to kind of start out with a bang and tell me what your idea is, why it's important, and why you're the best person in the world to write that idea. And so that's essentially what a book proposal does in a nutshell, to help me grab on to what in the world it is that you've got and why I should be really interested in that. And it could be as simple as, hey, I've had this amazing experience in my life, and I'm going to write down that experience and share it with the world and help them out there. So it could be in the memoir category as well. It doesn't have to be, you know, some profound self-help book that you have. It can be that as well. But you just have to tell it to me in a way where I go, oh, okay, I get what it is that you have here, and let's go forward and get that out to the world.
Now, would you say having a literary agent on your side or representing you would make that easier connection to make, as opposed to you doing it by yourself, especially as a first-time author?
You could, but the challenge for you is to be able to get a literary agent. You know, literary agents want to work with people that have experience, and so they are looking for new authors. Don't get me wrong. I've been in some of the top literary agencies in this country, and they're all looking for the next best idea out there that's going to sell, the next Purpose-Driven Life, the next Prayer of Jabez, the next Left Behind kind of books out there. But they're also cautious about what kind of people they take, so they're looking for people that have experience. So I always encourage authors, if you don't have any publishing experience, and I meet people like this all the time, what I encourage them to do is to write magazine articles. Get out there and get some publishing experience. Magazine editors are always looking for great writers, and the magazine format is a lot shorter. I mean, a typical nonfiction book is maybe 40 to 60,000 words. A typical novel is maybe 80 to 100,000 words for one of those 354-page novels that people have, and it takes a lot of time to write one of those. And so a magazine article is 500 words, 1,200 words, 1,500 words. It's a lot shorter format, and you can get out there and get published, and those are the kind of experienced people that we're looking for in order to be able to move them ahead into the book area. But to answer your question, it's fine. If you want to have a literary agent will help you. There are a lot of fine literary agents out there, and they're colleagues of mine. I used to be a literary agent for a while, but you need to be make sure that if you get a literary agent, get one that really just works on a percentage basis. In other words, they don't get paid until they sell your book. Some of these literary agents are really running scams out there in a sense, because they're going to charge you a fee to be your agent. Well, those aren't the kind of people you want to work with.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Because when you are, like I said, it's like your baby. So you want to be very careful with the type of people that you connect with, to know that they are not just in it to get your money, but they are, you know, believing in you and in what you are bringing to the table with your creative efforts. So that's good to know, because a lot of writers probably weren't aware of that, especially if they're first-time authors. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Getting Good at Life with Dr. Carolyn Clancy Miller. I'm Tracy Dennis, and I'm sitting in to host the show for her today. Excuse me. So if you have a couple of questions for Terry, feel free to call in at 646-716-6910 and tell him your question. Okay, Terry, we go into the second half of our show. I have a question for you. How do you know if a manuscript is sellable?
Well, how do you know if it's sellable or not? Well, I'm counting on you as the writer to really be able to pitch that in a way they go, oh, okay, there is a big audience out here for your book. I'm going to count on you to tell me the type of readership that you potentially would have. So, for example, it could be as simple as if you've written a romance novel, you probably understand that romance is the biggest genre in fiction, and there's a lot of those people out there. So that puts you right square in the bullseye of some of the biggest fiction that we're looking for out there, be romance. But on the other hand, if you've written a personal experience kind of story, a memoir about your life and what's happened out there, I'm going to want you to maybe dig up a little statistic about, you know, the number of people that are also in that kind of situation. If it's a, you know, maybe it's a personal trauma that you've had or something, or there are other people out there that are suffering this kind of thing. So I want you to pitch it to me in the best possible way so that I can understand and I can go, oh, okay, I can see the sales potential for this kind of idea, and then I can champion your cause to my publication board.
What about this? Now, I don't know if someone has ever done this before, but what if you use a pool or several pools of people, as you as an author, that is, and let's say you take an excerpt from a manuscript, and you might go to maybe some, you know, book clubs and you know, submit that manuscript to them and let them read it and see, you know, give their feedback on it. Or if you're a blogger, you know, tell the people who subscribe to your blog to, you know, write a detailed response. Kind of like how they do reviews on Amazon for products. And if you see, you know, most of us are more inclined to go ahead and choose the product that has 4 or 5 stars, you know, great. You know, they may have 1 or 2 in that didn't like it, but the majority did, and then we're going to usually go with the majority. So what if a person did that, and, you know, they're coming in as a first-time author, they don't really have a whole big pool of influence right now, but if they went out and pitched it to smaller groups ahead of time and got their feedback, could they present that to you as, you know, possible, you know, footage or grounding, I guess you could say, for this is actually a sellable book?
Yeah, they could do that. You do want to get feedback from people out there about your idea and your writing, and it's always a good idea to do that. And blogging is a great way to get started and see that. And so I totally see that, Tracy. If you have feedback from people, but you got to make sure that they're people that are really giving you honest feedback about it. You know, your family kind of loves your stuff, and your relatives would probably say, yes, this is a great idea, just to be kind to you, you know. So you want to make sure you're getting honest feedback about it at the end of the day, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking maybe along the lines of, like, if you even if you haven't started a blog, that might be a good reason to start one just to get feedback, and you can offer your own excerpts or I've heard of people doing a compilation of blogs that they've written that actually turned into a book because it was basically self-help advice or some area of expertise, and they were already writing articles about that or writing posts about it. And so if they're not already in the periodical, you know, industry where they're writing for magazines or things like that, I just wanted to know if that would count as experience or a basis for showing you that this person has what it takes to sell a book.
Oh, it absolutely would. And it is very common, you're absolutely right, that you can take your blog posts and recraft that material. I mean, you have to rewrite it often to take those blog posts and turn those into book material, but it is a very common form that people do that. They get started with their blog and they throw it out there to the world and get feedback about it. They continue to write on a particular topic. And then you can take those blog posts and reorganize those into a book format. And we call that a blook, by the way, in the business where that's happened, where a blog has gone to a book. And so it is a very common thing that people do. You get affirmation about your writing by getting it out there into the blogosphere. I did a whole teleseminar, by the way, Tracy, on this whole thing of blogging. And if people want to go to AskTerryWhelan.com, just with the word ask and my name.com, they can get a free teleseminar and a whole thing about blogging and how I talk about that.
That's wonderful. I'm going to post it on our Facebook page right after the show. I'm pretty sure that someone is going to need to know this information, because that is something that I'd wondered about. I don't think I even actually heard that people were doing that, but I just kind of thought if no one was, would be a great original, quote-unquote, original idea if they did, because you're already saying what you would say in a book. It just hadn't been put together in a comprehensive format.
Absolutely. It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. What are some common missteps that you find that first-time authors are making these days?
Well, I would say a common misstep would be that they really haven't put their strongest material first. And so one of the things that they do is they just assume that I'm going to read all their material. A while back, I interviewed a fiction acquisitions editor, for example, and I asked him how he knew if he got a good proposal or not. And he said, well, Terry, I read the first sentence, and if it's a good sentence, I read the next sentence. And if it's a good paragraph, I read the next paragraph. Well, that shows right there that he's only going to read a sentence or two of what you have.
Okay.
And so even in the nonfiction area, I'm only going to look at a page or two of what you put together to see if it's any good or not. So a common misstep would be not to start out strong and really have great material right up front for the person. So you need to really put your best foot forward, but also tell me why in the world you are the best person. And a lot of people are shy about that. They're like, oh, you know, I haven't done a whole lot, or I haven't published a whole lot. But yet you as an individual have had maybe an amazing experience that is unique that you should write about. Well, get it out there for me so I can understand it, and then I can champion your cause to my publication board.
Yeah, and when you bring that up, it's almost like, you know how they would tell you when you go for a job interview and the interviewer inevitably will ask, you know, well, what is it? Give me, you know, like one reason why I should hire you. What are you going to bring as an asset to this company? And, you know, you can't say, well, I'm a good person and I'm prompt.
Yeah.
That's really kind of vague and out there. Like, that's nice, but that doesn't specifically hone in on why I should hire you over the 200 other applicants that I have. And
absolutely.
So, like you're saying with the book, I've read, it's funny sometimes how I read certain things. I read one article that was written for authors and, you know, things that editors and literary agents look for when you submit a manuscript. And they said, please don't start out with something telling like it was a dark and stormy night.
Yep, it was a dark and stormy night.
Yeah, that just blows you off the table. We've heard that 100 times. It was a dark and stormy night. It has to be something that's going to draw them in immediately, and that's in the area of fiction. But now when you talk about nonfiction, I would think, and this is just a guess, that it would probably be easier for you to maybe express yourself in on a nonfiction manuscript to pitch yourself, is what I'm saying, because it's usually coming from your personal experience and what you learned maybe from a life situation or, you know, that sort of thing, than it is to pitch your book that you're writing about, I don't know, the war hero who came home to his wife who was terminally ill. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to have some kind of personal attachment to that story, I guess, to be able to tell it. Can you expound on that a little bit? As a writer, how would you build a pitch for that?
Well, you do, and Tracy, and what I always encourage writers to do, people that want to get published out there, is to be gathering your presence in the marketplace today. Maybe you haven't published anything out there, but you need to be building your audience and your fan base. And maybe it starts at a blog, like we were talking about earlier, but maybe you do it on Twitter or a lot of different ways out there to be gathering your presence in the marketplace. So I always encourage authors to be doing that kind of thing. For example, on Twitter, I have 40,000 followers on Twitter. Well, that didn't happen overnight. I mean, I've been working at that for a while. And so you, as an author, can do the same thing. Follow the steps that I have out there. I have a whole ebook on platform building ideas for every author, and they can get that free at terrylinks.com/PB for platform building ideas. So whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, and whether you've been published or not, I want to encourage you today to be building your presence in the marketplace, because that will really help you to attract the editor or the agent that will be right for your book and your idea.
And social media, from what I understand, is this wonderful way now of doing that, where it was very difficult to do that, or I should say much more tedious to do it before. It's not that you don't have to work at it, even though social media is readily available to almost anybody who wants to use it, but before they had Facebook and, you know, MySpace and Twitter and all of that, you really kind of had to pound the pavement, so to speak, and put out letters and, you know, gain an audience that way. But a lot of people, from what I understand, are using social media to build their platform, and I think it's a very smart way to do it.
It is very smart, and social media and the internet really does allow us to equalize and be able to get out there in a unique kind of way all around the world. And that's a really cool thing about it, as far as I'm concerned, is that you're not just doing something in Texas or in the United States. You're really touching people all over the globe with your material.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's the wonderful part about it. It's like a no-boundaries way of doing it. So I know that a lot of people appreciate that, and if they get involved in it, because some people feel a little bit squeamish when it comes to social media, but if you're using it for the right reasons and in the right way, it can be a great benefit for you. Well, Terry, we are coming down to a close, and I need to get all your information in very quickly. I wanted to ask, what kinds of manuscripts is your company currently in the market for, and how can authors connect with you to submit their manuscripts?
Well, we are actively looking for fiction and nonfiction kinds of manuscripts, and so we're looking for good stuff. I always tell people, you know, at the end of the day, we're really looking for really good material, and you know, I'm looking for proposals. Great sample chapters, one or two sample chapters, and a really good pitch as far as why your book idea is one that I should really be interested in. And you know, I'm reading them, so send them to me.
Well, all righty then. Now you can tell us where we can send this to.
Well, they could send it to my Morgan James email, would be fine. That's terry@morganjamespublishing.com. It's a long URL there, but that's our publishing address. It'd be terry@morganjamespublishing.com. And I've also put together a book proposal checklist. I think you're going to tell us about that, Tracy, where that's really a tool that I'm giving your listeners really here, how to put their material together for me in the best possible format.
Excellent. I was going to let you tell them since you have.
you're going to let me tell them.
Addresses and email addresses that they need, and I don't want to confuse them by me mixing that up. So, yes, if you could give that to us.
Okay. I have a one-page handout, Tracy, about book proposals here, and I call it a book proposal checklist. And I really encourage all your listeners to get this because I go over all the details of what's in a book proposal, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. And at the bottom of this checklist, I have a number of resources for people. I have a free teleseminar I did about proposals. I have a course on proposals. I have a blog that has over 1,100 searchable entries. And so if you pull up this one page, then you'll be able to click those links at the bottom and go to all these different materials that I've been telling you about. But you can get that at terrylinks.com. That's terrylinks.com/book-check. So just go to that one site, terrylinks.com/book-check, and you'll be able to get all this information.
Wonderful. And if you want to subscribe to Terry's bloggers, I highly recommend you need to do that at thewritinglife.ws. Did I say that correctly, Terry?
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. Thewritinglife.ws. He is so generous in his in offering, you know, advice and tips and insider secrets to all of us who are out here hoping to one day publish a book. So he's very open to your questions and comments. So please, if you didn't get a chance to ask a question during the show today, I certainly apologize, but you can always contact Terry through those venues. He's also on Facebook and Twitter as Terry Whalen. And that's Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, and last name W-H-A-L-I-N. So once again, we want to thank you, Terry, for coming back and sharing your wisdom with our listeners today. We have really been encouraged, those of us who desire to write books or, you know, just get ourselves out there to speak a message to someone that, you know, it can be done, just need the right steps and the right wisdom to do it. So, audience, please tell someone you know about the show. If you know someone who's writing a book, who is thinking about writing one, please share the show link today. Let us know what you thought about today's show on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/gettinggoodatlife. And once again, we encourage you to join us on Wednesday when Pastor Johnson will be back with us talking about another hot topic. Until then, keep getting good at life.
Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome, Terry.
You've been listening to Getting Good at Life with Dr. Carolyn Clancy Miller. To read weekly blogs and learn more about your host, just log on to drcarolynmiller.com. You can also connect with Dr. Carolyn on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. Share the show link with your friends by going to our Blog Talk Radio profile and subscribe to Getting Good at Life on iTunes. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central Time for another exciting edition of Getting Good at Life.